Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. Here to preview the 2023 Sanderson Farms Classic, I guess.
Championship.
Sorry. So dumbest disrespect for the alt events is what I'm going to call them now because the way it's structured. You can find myself on Twitter at BDIntric. My co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. How are we doing, my friend, Jesse?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Doing well. Something took place over the weekend. I guess we might talk about it for a little bit here. US got stomped yet again because of watching that so much incompetence, so blatant incompetence to me, and just the idea behind putting a team together. But that's a whole long conversation. So what are your takes on the Ryder Cup? Because we deserved every bit of that is the way I see it.
Yeah, in hindsight, obviously my takes last week were cold. I really expected them to play better. The big difference was the alternate shot, 7-1, an alternate shot. Mm-hmm. That's just really a huge deficit to overcome in singles when it comes down to it. But yeah, it's hard for me. Like I've thought about this quite a bit because, you know, what's the issue? Like, in my opinion, it has to be the captain. Now, whether it's captain's picks, yada, 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 I think that's debatable. But, like, how do these guys, like, listen to and respect Zach Johnson when they have done all of these guys have done nothing but just completely beat the shit out of Zach Johnson in every tournament he's ever played in that these guys are in, you know? I know Zach is a Masters champion, but I don't even remember him ever being on a Ryder Cup team ever. Like, how did Zach get to be the fucking captain of this thing?
I've wondered that for a long time, ever since it was discussed. Like, at least Furyk, you know, there's like a respect, you know, with Furyk, him and Tiger,
Stricker,
boys, like a lot of those guys. Like, there was like a legacy kind of built up behind these guys. ZG just felt like he fell into this one. Like, where did because, like, even Freddie Couples, who I think I got some hot takes on him as well, but he's an older guy that's played longer. Like, wouldn't he be the captain before ZG type
you
thing?
You think.
Like, you know, the whole idea of ZG, because he's still playing in a lot of events, not because it was a captain trying to play with players. He's still playing in events. Like, there's a difference there. And I agree. It felt really weird. And even just watching him walk around, watching him in his press conferences, Tron Carter had a great, I think it was Tron or somebody, had a great tweet that ZJ's rolling around on his golf cart with his agent in the front seat. And he says, "I've seen enough. This is what's wrong with all of this. Like, why is your agent in the front seat? Like, what are we doing here?" It just seemed like a horrible captain's choice even before this event. Like, a lot of this will be hindsight conversation that we're gonna have here.
It's easy to say it now, but
I never understood it for one bit.
It's just the whole deal from the beginning to me was odd. I mean, obviously picking JT, you can debate that. He didn't play very well, but he outplayed fucking Jordan Spieth. Carried Jordan Spieth on the back nine on Friday. Jordan couldn't hit it on the planet. And then he turns right back around and rolls both of those guys out for alt shot. And they did somehow only lose 2-1. Yep. But I just feel like there was maybe a different combo there. Maybe sit Jordan since he couldn't keep the ball in play in the last nine holes of that match. They lost the first three holes. So, I mean, that's there you go. And I don't know what the fuck happened to Scottie Scheffler on Friday or Saturday morning. That's bizarre to lose 9-7. Real him bad. And Brooks.
They I mean, were sick. They I think they shot a 41 on the front.
Well, they lost the first four holes.
Yeah.
And then tied one, lost the next one, tied one, and lost the next four.
I think I saw somewhere like the first four, the Euros went, they had like three pars and a birdie, and they somehow won all four holes. That does not happen in alt shot. I'm sorry. At best, you should be up one. At best.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen some of that alt shot. I mean, obviously, they were starting that shit at 2 o'clock.
I was well in my time.
I did watch it. I did watch a lot of the best ball matches, and I felt like we competed decently well in that. But there was some absolute meltdowns coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
In particular, on Friday, you know, Scheffler and Koepka lose the last hole. Shouldn't happen.
Oh, no.
Homa and Wyndham Clark, I mean, he melted under the pressure quite a few times, especially on 18. Yeah. They lost the last two to have that match. I mean, that's a full point. There's you know, a full point there at minimum. That we could have had back. Morikawa and Xander got absolutely boat raced by Rory and Fitzpatrick, who was just hot. But yeah, I mean, you know, in with that being said, I thought we had a chance even late Sunday to try to pull this thing out. And you know, obviously, it would have taken some perfect golf, and somehow Scheffler lost the last hole, and it was pretty much over once Scheffler lost that last hole. With the rest of these guys and a bunch of European flags up there, like it was kind of like this is over and done with. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's some soul searching to do. I think the one big thing, you know, I think you probably know more about this than I do, but there was the money aspect was brought up, you know, via Xander or whatever. I don't know much about it. If you want to talk about it, you can. But I feel like the one huge thing is the Europeans care a lot more. That's the only thing I can figure out, you know?
Yeah. Justin Rose had a comment that made me really like it, set it all into perspective. He says, a great European pairing or a great Ryder Cup pairing doesn't mean pairing you with your friends. And that, like, yeah, is a dagger for one, but makes a lot of sense also. A ton of sense, because that's one of the things that has annoyed me to the end for a lot of years. And the U.S. gotten away with it in President's Cups, of course, because that's just you just out. And I almost caught up with him in Australia recently.
It did.
So, and then, you know, you go to Whistling Straits where it's just a bomber's paradise and they could do no wrong at that point. But you go to these kind of courses, and there's got to be a point when, like, tell me Keegan Bradley wouldn't have been a great choice over a couple of those guys, just the way he's played up. Tell me, like, there's a handful of guys that even Finau, like he played great in Paris. Like he's got that approach game. There's all these little things that maybe just because they're not in the clicks doesn't mean they're not better for the win. I think that's something that really has to be. And we say this, and we said the same thing after Paris. So it's like, this is just a broken record. We go to Europe, we get the shit kicked out of us. This is what we do. But there's a part where, you know, they set the course up, and we talked about it last week, even previewing it, that it's a great match play type course, especially the back nine. And you look at a lot of those rounds, the U.S. was either tied or winning so many times in the front nine. And then you just watch it slowly fall apart on the back. It's like they knew exactly how to get to us. Like they said a lot of the approach shots were between 150 and 180 because the U.S. is about bombing it and wedging it. Now you have to actually have an approach game. That's a big factor in it. That's good on them. That's good on the Euros. And that's bad on the U.S. for not doing their stupid math. Also, pointed out many times, why are the U.S. people not going and playing tournaments at these golf courses? Why are we not that? Like, literally, that's like saying, hey, go hop in a NASCAR and go race Daytona tomorrow. Like, figure it out, kid. Like, that might be an extreme, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I know what you're saying.
Come on. Like, it's,
well, we know course history matters. We do.
Tremendously. It's such a big event and such a huge event that you quote unquote say that you take so much pride in. Well, take some pride and get off your ass and go over there and play for a few little extra dollars and figure it out. Like, it seems pretty simple to me, but
I'm with you. I think there's a lot of soul searching to do I mean, I think we say this every year. I think we've said it every other year that it's been over in Europe, like, got to figure it the fuck out. And then we come back to America and we set it up like the way we want to. And we win 19-9, like we did 2 years ago. So,
and then we'll be content after Bethpage when they do the same thing. Yeah, Bethpage could be interesting, actually.
I do think it's like something else you got to consider is like the shotgun start guys playing over on that tour. Like, I do think you got to give a lot more look at
100%
Bryson in particular.
Gooch.
Gooch.
Yeah, I think Gooch is great. He's playing good golf though.
Like, DJ. You
gotta acknowledge it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe when the merger happens,
that might change by the time we have our next Ryder Cup. That is true, especially if most guys go to Team Smash, according to Brooks Koepka. So you got that going. Like, I was busy doing stuff. The first thing that pops up when I loaded up Twitter was that tweet by Brooks. Yeah. I just laughed. I'm like,
he's stir a troll, man.
The pot, buddy. Mm-hmm. Stir the pot. I love it. Absolutely love it. Especially now with the news on Monday of Xander saying he almost got kicked out of the whole thing because he was fighting a part of the agreement. which made it even funnier seeing him in a Smash shirt. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So I guess bizarre. the biggest thing he wanted is he wanted it where Netflix couldn't bring their cameras into the locker room. And that was like PGA. Apparently it wasn't the leaders at the PGA. When they heard about this, they squashed it. But I guess like the lawyers were saying, no, this is part of the deal, blah, blah, blah. We're going to kick you off the team. That's why it seems like Xander didn't go practice with the guys. It was that weekend. And then he found out that next Monday he was still on the team. So kind of interesting stuff there, of course. But the Euros, also the big three of Rom, Rory, and Vic just beat the snot out of the big three of the U.S. And that's another big thing to take home. If they even split those, obviously a whole different tournament. So the domination factor was there. Max Homa is the GOAT.
Yeah, like, Max played well.
Gave me so much joy.
Max was a good surprise. You know, for being a rookie, I think he played very well. Wyndham was surprising how bad he was most of the time. I do feel like ZJ, if he was smart, would have put Cantlay out first. That's just my own personal thoughts on it. Number one, because he's slow as shit, so he pisses everybody off behind him. But number two, he was playing the best after Saturday. I mean, like, he birdies three in a row and buries that 35-footer there. We didn't even talk about Rory and Joe Lakava getting into it. Did you see this?
Yeah, that was awesome. Well, it started on the green, of course, and then it just kept going from there.
The whole hat thing, I didn't really understand. It's still beyond me why they –
Well,
that's something else about money, basically, too, right?
Well, that's what they're saying, but now it's coming out like, of course, Cantlay says the right thing and says, no, not at all. It wasn't about it. And then the report today, which is funny, Cantlay's getting married today in over there, outside of Rome or wherever. So he even came out and said, hey, I didn't want to wear a hat to have a hat tan line for my wedding photos. Now, still sounds silly, but does make a little bit of sense at the same time. I kind of get both sides of it.
I get so, it. Makes sense to me.
It's just so much stuff. Like, when all hell's breaking loose, you look for every problem in the world, like Ricky getting benched for all of Saturday. That started a whole new thing. And there's so much drama. That's the other thing. It's like, it's easy not to have drama when you're winning. So Europe just kind of did their thing. But man, just the inner just turmoil, it seemed like, was just insane this year. Yeah. Like, I hope Netflix does get some of it. I'll tell you that much, because I'm real curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah, they'll put it on. Whatever Netflix gets, like, it'll be shit we already know. That's like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how it was last time. I'll watch it, but I'm not going to get my hopes up this time.
Daniel Rappaport, he works for Barstool now. He used to be Golf Digest or something. Mm-hmm. He made an interesting point that does seem intriguing, because he said it's going to be like this every year. If, you know, you get to pick your venue and get to do whatever you want to the course. Like, U.S. is going to do their thing. Europe's going to do their thing. He said what would be really cool is if, okay, the host country, like, U.S. can pick Bethpage, but then you have a combination of Euro and U.S. independent people that they're the ones that set it up.
That so would be. I would think
that's intriguing.
That.
I think that's intriguing, because then it's basically an even playing field. It's like a neutral course. You can pick which one you want to go to, but then they get to make you basically go, hey, you can't bomb it here. You can hit 340, but past that, like, we're not letting you get any, like, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That could be interesting, I think.
Yeah, I saw that. He was basically saying that analytics is ruining the Ryder Cup, more or less, because of the way that the golf courses are getting set up because of analytics. Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, well, the last two haven't really necessarily been that close on Sunday. So I don't remember the third one, wherever that was in Paris. I don't remember how that one turned out necessarily, but. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I mean, everybody's playing the same course, so.
Yeah, I think that'd be quite interesting, but we'll see. We'll look back on this in 4 years and see if any of this complaining actually mattered, or if we're going to do the same song and dance all over again, because it just feels like we did the same thing in Paris 4 years, 5 years ago, whatever it was, and they're just not changing. Like I said, then they'll get content because they'll go and blast the doors off them at Bethpage potentially, and it's rinse and repeat. But I don't know, because the young Euros actually start bombing the ball now. So that could be a little more interesting. Like, another year with Åberg and Hogard and those guys. You got Rombo, you got Mac. Like, they do got some hitters now. So it's not like the old days with Poulter and all them where they're not hitting it far at all. So
yeah, for sure.
Might be a little tighter. But as you guys can tell, we could talk the Ryder Cup probably the entire show. But we do have the Sanderson Farms. Yes, a real golf tournament in the United States of America. that starts on Thursday with a just loaded field of golfers, an amazingly loaded field. So let's talk about the Sanderson Farms, because I'm a degenerate, so I'll play DK. What do you got for some past event history? Because you got one of the best cock trophies on the planet if you win this thing.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a great trophy. So last year, Mackenzie Hughes was a champion, 17 under in a playoff over Sepp Straka. 2021 was Sam Burns, 22 under, one shot over Watney and Cam Young. 2020 was Sergio Garcia, one shot over Peter Malnati. 2019, Sebastian Munoz, 18 under, playoff over Sungjae Im. Cameron Champ, 2021 or 2018 winner, four shots over Corey Connors, Ryan Almer, Peter Malnati, Nick Taylor, Scott Stallings, Chris Kirk, past champions. Other than that, that's your most recent, anyways.
Yeah, this is going to be a birdie fest, as you'd expect. But if you paid attention to the names that Jesse mentioned, you can be a bomber, you can be a plotter. It does not matter here. It's a lot like Silverado. It's a course comp you get. You can see kind of some of that next week at the Shriners. It's a lot of kind of narrow fairways, but with trees, but not as dense as Silverado was. It's a par 72, 7,461 yards, so not super small, but not long by any means. Water's on five holes. The par fives are extremely gettable and need to be got. That's the way to look at that one. They're 550 to 600. You need to get birdies on those. Most of the par fours are 4 to 450. A tremendous amount of your approach shots are going to be 1 to 150. So wedge play is going to be huge. And that's why, like, you can hit three woods and still probably be like 150 out on most holes. And that'll keep you out of trouble. So, like, driving distance is awesome because obviously the wedge game will be different. But it's going to turn into find as many fairways as possible and then stroke gains, luck box putting. That's what most of this tournament's going to be. There are bunkers around. It's very similar to Silverado. That's the best way I could put it. Very, very similar to what we saw then. And I expect to see a birdie barrage again with a wild leaderboard come Sunday. So might be a lazy course preview, but that's pretty much what it is. Nothing too crazy. So what do you got for some stats you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the same shit. Stroke gain approach, greens regulation, birdie, long-term birdie scores, what I weighed on DraftKings. A lot of course history. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's basically just your normal resort course. Better make a shit ton of birdies over 4 days in order to win.
I think like TPC courses, think those kind of things. Like guys that do well in birdie fests have good course history here. Let's put it that way. Like KH Lee is going to pop in this one. And we always call him TPC KH Lee. So you got that going for you. But let's get cracking on some DK on this event. We have four guys over 10K. One, I'm still curious if he's making that grand voyage across the pond here. Ludvig Åberg is, and I did see this in the coverage. I can't remember if it was Rick Gaiman or it was Rappaport, was sitting next to a Scandinavian reporter and asked him the proper way to pronounce the last name. And over there, it's Åberg. But the reporter said, an acceptable U.S. pronunciation is Åberg. So part of me is like, are you trying to tell us we're not smart enough to say Åberg?
Well, you know what's weird about that, though? Like, on the coverage, they were calling him Åberg.
Maybe it's Åberg, then the guy that typed it wrong.
If they accept Åberg, that's what we'll stick with.
Yeah, we're going to stick with Åberg. I just want to throw that out there. That was an interesting little nugget across the deal. He's the most expensive guy at 10-9, rightfully so, in this field. I don't think he's going to make the trip, but you never know. Young kid, he's 80th in the world. He probably wants to work up the ladder. It's a great event to do it if he's coherent enough to make it happen. Jägerbombs is 10-4. Eric Cole is 10-3. And Emiliano Grillo is 10-1. So what gets you started in the 10K range?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Åberg is the class of this field, which is weird because he just turned pro in the middle of the summer. But he played the fucking Ryder Cup and played well at the Ryder Cup too. Other than that, obviously, Jaeger is playable. I do like Eric Cole. He finished, missed a cut here last year, but hasn't missed a cut on tour since the Charles Schwab way back in May. So I think if I'm up here and assuming that Åberg is not in the field, it'd be Eric Cole, but I don't think I'll be alone in that.
Yeah, Cole's expected to be popular. I've heard that name quite a bit over tweets. I haven't listened to anything yet, but tweets-wise, Cole looks popular. I love the idea of Steven Yeager just because if it's a birdie fest, a par five type deal. He did finish 45th at the Fortinet, but he finished the season on a strong note. We were riding him quite a bit, and he's finished 30th, 26th here the last 2 years. So I like that. I am really curious. If Cole is chalky, Emiliano Grillo at 10-1 has my attention. Fifth here last year, he's made four straight cuts at this event. Did not play at the Fortinet, but you know he got all the way to the Tour Championship. He played really well to finish out the season, finished 10th in Minnesota. That's another course comp, TPC Twin Cities. So Emiliano Grillo at 10-1 could be a little bit of interesting pivot off of a chalky Garrett Cole, but I like the idea of Cole. I think is great. If you're playing 20 max, I'd probably still have a good amount, but Yeager and Grillo, I think, are awesome pivots off of Garrett Cole. 9K range, you got Keith Mitchell at 99, Hebert at 96, S.H. Kim at 94, Hostler at 92, Dougie Gim at 91, and Adam Svensson at 9K. Who do you like in this range?
Yeah, the model doesn't like much. Is it S.H. Kim? Is that what?
That's what I'm going with.
Okay, yeah. Because on here, it's, and I thought it was S.H. Kim, but on here on Labs, it's Seung Hyung.
Mine says Seung Hyung, but I'm just going with S.H.
I think it's S.H., though, like that's what most people call him, right?
Yep. That's what I'm going with.
That's what we'll go with. SH. I like it. Perfect. Because there's 0% chance I pronounce that correct. I do like him. 13th here last year, coming off a second place finish at the Fortnite. Before that was very up and down, so he's nowhere near a cash play, but is definitely playable at 9,400, especially in GPPs. And then Doug Gim, man, I only like two guys in this range. There's some names here, but there's only like two guys I'm willing to click on. The other one is Doug Gim. He's never played here, but finished 17th at the Fortnite. Basically has made every cut on U.S. soil since the Texas Open back in April. So playing well when he's in the U.S. And I think he might get a kind of breakout win this year. Did you see also, too, that he is now touting DraftKings?
Dougie Gim is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's outstanding. Mayo must love that because he calls him the Gim Reaper. That's his boy. So the fact that he's touting DraftKings, that's just like yin and yang stuff there.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. We didn't even talk about it.
What?
Did you see our boy Sungjae and Siwoo got a gym from the military service?
Yeah. That's huge.
That is so tremendous. I was talking with Will Cox on Twitter about it. Yeah. Will Cox is having a good time on Saturday night celebrating that one. And that was awesome to see because
that's really good to hear because they won't derail their golf careers.
It's derailed like everybody before them.
Yeah, I know. And they're bright stars, man.
Yeah, like the fact that we get to keep doing Siwoo stuff, but Sungjae, man, like literally there is a major coming his way sooner. Like the dude's so freaking good.
Yeah.
So, we almost buried that lead talking so much Ryder Cup, but wanted to bring that up. 9K range, I don't mind the SH Kim at 94. Really good par four score. It's just a matter, like you said, the inconsistencies. He rates up pretty well on everything except his wedge play. So if he can get the wedge play going, that's where he can go low for sure. So don't hate that. But Dougie Gim is second in my model. So a big fan of that. He's sixth in opportunities gained, third in the par fours, 4 to 450, first in proximity, 1 to 125, and he's first in good drive. So he's always playing out of the fairway, which is tremendous. So I like Dougie Gim a lot. And I'll give a shout to Adam Svensson. He's seventh in my model, 10th in birdie or better, first in 125 to 150. He's 21st in good drives, which isn't too bad. He finished 54th here last year, doesn't have great course history. Hasn't played since the BMW where he finished 15th, which was nice. He's 15th, 37th at FedEx, 7th at Wendell to finish the season. So this is his first event of the fall swing. So we'll see how he does. But at 9K, I think there's some upside there as well. But if you're looking for guys that have been playing recently, might want to dodge that one. But I think Svensson is pretty nice. 8K range, you got Alex Smalley at 89, Hubbard at 88. K.H. Lee at 87, Hoagie 86. It's kind of weird Hoagie's down here in this field. Ryder 85, Griffin 84, Lee Hodges 83, D. Thompson 82, Higo 81, and Luke List at 8,000. I have too many guys checked off in this range.
Yeah, I like this range too. That's might be bad. Start with Hubbard, fifth here last year, 54th in 2015, 51st in 2014. So he's never missed a cut here, which is a good sign. Coming off a 17th, I don't know why I can't speak tonight, 17th place finish at the Fortnite. K.H. Lee, you mentioned him before, like he kind of fits the mold of this type of golf course. He's never played here, but finished 14th at the Fortnite. Now, before that was not good. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if he comes in with some better form. Sam Ryder, 45th here last year, four straight made cuts on tour, including that 14th place finish at the last event, the Fortnite. Davis Thompson at 8,200. He made the cut here last year, finished 67th. Coming off back-to-back top 30s, I think he's fine. Garrick Higo is a guy that I really probably would play too much of if I played a bunch of lineups. I won't play a bunch of lineups because I'm not I'm a single entry, three max type of dude. But if I had a bunch of lineups, I would probably, Higo would be close to lock button for me because it's weird the way he's coming in here. He finished third here last year. Coming in last year, he missed the cut at the Fortnite. This year, missed the cut at the Fortnite. So it's not like the form was good coming in last year. So he must like this place is what I'm trying to get at. And those are the type of guys that I do like to play a lot of because the public won't necessarily be all over him. And then Luke List at 8,000, 2 of 2 made cuts here. Made his last two cuts on tour, WD at the Rocket Mortgage, made the cut to Travelers. So I think he's fine. I'm not a huge Luke List guy. I'm not like a lot of people like love playing him week in, week out. I'm not that guy, but I would play him this week.
Yeah, a fun range. Alex Smalley is first in my model.
Oh, God.
Yeah, second in approach, first in opportunities gained, 10th in proximity, like just ridiculous. What
is putter just trash or what?
Pretty much is what looking at it, the stats here. Yeah, putting 121. 121. That's what it is.
That's at least a great GBP play, though.
Yeah, he hasn't played since the St. Jude where he was 65th, missed the cut at the Wyndham. So coming in, he's taking quite the break here, which kind of makes me slightly nervous. But, a miscut here last year, 31st the year before. But towards the end of that season swing there before the playoffs, was playing really good golf. So he is, I think, a really good tournament play at $8,900. I have Hubbard checked off. Always like Hubbard in Birdie Fest. We say that all the time. KH Lee's 105 in my model, and I love that because that might steer people away. I think he's a great, great tournament play. Sam Ryder's third in my model. The thing deterring him is driving distance, but you don't need that here. You mentioned his recent form and how he's played. I like that a lot with him. He's seventh in the par four scoring, sixth in opportunities gained, third in approach. So that's what we want to see here. And after that, like Lee Hodges, Davis Thompson, 24th and 25th in my model. Davis Thompson's first in par five scoring. I think that'll bode obviously very well in this event. Luke List is ninth in my model. I like him a lot. And then I'm glad you mentioned Higo because I had him checked off as well. He's a guy I was playing a ton last year because even towards the end of the season, miscut the window, but 13th to 3M. 3M is another, again, comp course to this course. He's always risky. There's no doubt about it. And you mentioned it, like miscut the Fortnite, finishes third last year, miscut last time at the Fortnite. But he's got that total, like he can win it all upside, which I love in tournaments, like you mentioned. So $8,100, I have Garrett Higo checked off as well. 75 to 79, who you like in here?
Yeah, Mackenzie Hughes at 7,700, obviously the defending champion, has made his last two cuts on tour. He's not been great otherwise, but definitely the course history there. Sam Stevens, 7,700, has never played here, but two straight cuts made, Fortnite, St. Jude. Before that was 10th at the 3M, so that's a pretty good sign there. Nate Lashley at 7,500, 61st, his lone start here last year, and has five straight made cuts on tour, so pretty good price there on Nate Lashley at 7,500, I think. Callum Tarran is another guy who finished 13th here last year, 7th at the Fortnite, miscut Wyndham, 13th, 3M Open, and that's it.
Yeah, this is an interesting range as well for me. I'm starting with Dylan Wu, 21st in my model. He's one of the best putters in the field, actually. It's just a matter of staying in the fairways. He's had an issue, 96th in the field with fairways, good drives, I should say. But finished 14th last week. He finished at 51st the Wyndham, 5th the 3M Open. So Fortnite, 3M Open, if you're believing in that thing. 67th here last year. So I think Wu is very interesting at 76. I like Streelman at 76 as well. 12th in my model. He can play these types of courses just fine. He finished 56th the Fortnite last week, 2 weeks ago, 2nd at the 3M Open is what we want to see. And his last three events here, 24th, 31st, and 4th. So I like that quite a bit for Streels at 7,600. Lashley at 75, I think that's very interesting as well. I think a fun tournament play is Grayson Sigg. He's 17th in my model. Very good par five score. 25th at the Fortinet last couple weeks ago. Ninth here last year. So he's got some GPP appeal. Love the Calentarium call. He's 8th in my model, surprisingly enough. So he rates out well. And then the other guy, we'll get to him in a minute. That's it for me in this range. What do you like from 7 to 7,400?
Yeah, there's a few guys here, especially at 7,400. Nick Hardy, 5th here last year, but coming off a miscut at the Fortnite. Again, that doesn't really necessarily translate to good or bad, or being bad at this event, you know, as mentioned before by Higo. Eric Van Ruin, 7,400, three straight made cuts for him, three straight top 30s, two top 16s sprinkled in there. He is completely boom or bust. Peter Quest, if you're a regular listener of the show, you know Sam Stevens, Peter Quest, just guys that we play week in and week out, especially in these shit fields. Carson Young.
What if I told you Peter Quest is number one in driving distance in this field?
Is he really? Yep. Bomber, dude.
Bomber. Dude's,
and the thing is, he looks like – he reminds me of like JT size.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
Yep.
At the only time I've ever seen him on TV at the Barbasol.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Carson Young, 77th here last year, 19th last time out at the Fortnite, and then the Wyndham, he finished 67th. So I think that's a fine price on him. And then last but not least for me in this range, Matt Neesmith, 9th here last year, coming off a miscut at the Fortnite. But, you know, Matt Neesmith, better golfer than 7,000 in this field, in my opinion.
Great course history. So that stood out to me a lot with him. For me, at $7,400, Nick Hardy at 74. It's pretty much like a strictly course history play. 5th year last year, 26th the year before. He's rated 68th in my model. The guy I was going to mention before I stopped myself, Ches Reavy. Big fan here. 11th in my model. He's first in approach, first in opportunities gained, 5th from 1 to 125, 2nd in good drives. Driving distance and putting are his issues, which you don't need driving distance here. And, you know, luck box putting can happen with Ches. We've seen that many times. He has missed his last two cuts here. That is a bit of a oopsie. But 66th to Fortnite, 27th to the Wyndham, where his last two events he's played in. I think he's just striking the ball really well. If he can get the putter going, we got a chance with Ches. Another guy I'm going to go to here, and it feels probably dumb and I'll get laughed at, but Grayson Murray at $7,300 is interesting to me. He's 4th in par 5 scoring, 16th in par 4s, 4 to 450. Recently won on the Korn Ferry. Kind of seems like he's kind of getting his act together, which is interesting. Last PGA Tour event he played was the 3M Open, finished 57th there. Last time he played here was in 2021, finished 53rd here. I think Grayson could be an interesting tournament play because, A, no one likes Grayson, so they don't play Grayson. So you get low ownership at $7,300, something I'll have my eyes on. Hayden Buckley at 73. He's 31st on my model, 6th in the par 4 scoring. And we look at course history here. Hayden Buckley, 19th and 4th the last 2 years. I like that quite a bit with Buckley. 52nd in the St. Jude. That's the last event he played it on the PGA Tour. After Buck, you got like Chad Ramey at 72. Troy Merritt plays well here. And he finished 7th at Fortnite last week. He's 72. Malnati's got great course history, but his form is horrific right now. The other two guys, a couple guys I'll mention here. Carson Young, you hit on him. Just had to mention it. $7,100, too freaking cheap. Just not cool. Not cool at all. Marty Party Laird's coming in decent form if you're feeling frisky. But you got some 7K fun. I had Neesmith highlighted as well, but you're talking course history, CT Pan at $7,000, 67th, 11th, and 12th the last 3 years here. That stood out for me. And then Zach Blair has missed his last three cuts here, but we talked about Blair at the Fortnite, and he's coming in. He's a different golfer right now. 52nd at the Fortnite, missed cut at the Wyndham, 13th at the 3M Open. He's $7,000. He's 38th in my model, 11th in 125 to 150, 17th in par 5 scoring. Driving distance is a deterrent. Again, not a big of an issue here. So I think Blair at 7,000 is pretty fun as well. Who do you like in the 6K range?
Yeah, 6,900, Will Gordon, 30th here last year. Three straight missed cuts on tour. Did finish 25th at the Scottish missed cut, John Deere. 74th Rocket Mortgage. I mean, it's like you just never know what you're going to get with him, but I think that's probably a little bit too low of a price in this field. There's other guys like you know, Russell Knox, Ryan Moore, those are kind of boring. Charlie Hoffman, Jimmy Walker, boring dudes. Let's go with Trevor Cohn, 45th here last year, two straight miscuts on tour. Matthias Schwab, miscut here last year, but 11th his last time out at the Fortnite. Hank Lebioda, 6,500. Played well the last time out too at the Fortnite, at, you know, 19th there. So, yeah, I don't know other than Will Gordon is about the only guy that I would be willing to really play down here, I think.
Don't hate the Will Gordon calls. Hey, Trey Molnix, $6,900. Miscut here last year, fourth the year before. That would be a guy of interest for me. Russell Knox actually rates out well. He's $6,800. He's 38th in my model, but you look at like recent 24th, 29th here the last 2 years. If you can get 24th or 29th at $6,800, he finished 30th at the Fortinet. So Russell Knox would be a guy at 68 to look at. Henrik Norlander, not coming in great form, but $6,700. And at this course, 24th, 4th, and 4th the last 3 years. That's pretty strong course history for Norlander. Again, miscut last time out. Miscut at the Wyndham, 57th at 3M Open. So the form is a bit sketchy. But, yeah, there's a couple just like, I had Schwab down here at 65. Yeah, I don't like it. I'm trying to stay away from most of this if I can. All right, recapping things. 10K and above, who do you like?
I'm going to say Åberg if he plays, Cole if he doesn't.
I'll say Emiliano Grillo for me. 9K.
Gim.
Gim is the right answer. I'm going to go with you on Gim and not get cute. 8K range.
Higo.
That is fun. You know, the number one guy in my model I should probably pick. That probably makes the most sense. I love the Higo call. I will go with I'll go with Sam Ryder, even though he's not number one in my model. He's third in my model. 75 to 79.
Lashley.
I like that. Where's the guy I had circled here? Give me Dylan Wu. No. Give me Kevin Streelman. Give me Streelman at 76. 7K to 74.
Eric Van Ruin.
Your boy. Stick with your boy. I'm going to go with Carson Young. And then 6K range.
Will Gordon.
You'll go Will Gordon. I will go with Russell Knox to be a little different there. All right. If you're playing cash this week, who are you starting out your cash lineups with?
I mean,
we know Jesse's thoughts on this.
Hubbard, Ryder, Hughes.
Yeah, Hughes isn't bad. I'd say Hughes, Ryder, and Streelman for me. That's where I'll start. But tournaments, this is a tournament field. Like we talked about Fortinet, there'll be a lot of 6K guys, low sevens, that'll be up towards the top when it's all said and done. So just be well aware of that. Who do you start your tournament lineups out with?
Yeah, I like Gim, Higo, and Carson Young.
I'm going to go Grio, Higo, and Young is a great call there, actually. I'll go Grayson Murray, a little different. Grayson Murray. All right. You have to dig. You have to find them, but the lines are there for the Sanderson Farms on DK. Took me a second to find them. Åberg still here at 11-1. Then you got Jaeger at 18, Cole at 20, Grio at 25. Who do you like to win this thing?
I fucked up and didn't log in and had this all set up before. It's legal to bet in the state of Kentucky now, though.
I know. How's that going for you?
It's really been fun. In the aspect of, like, they just want to give you money. Like, they just want to give you bets. They want to give you money and these free bets and this shit. So far it's been all right, but I've been kind of floated by, you know, like, if Kentucky scores 1 point in the game against, you know, Florida, then you double up. So, you know, that type of shit. Åberg at 11-1 is egregious. Okay. Let's say Steven Jaeger at 18-1, insane. You know, I mean, like back like 3 years ago, they would have been at least double these numbers, at least.
Yep.
So with that being said, Higo at 40, Gim at 45, and I mean, it's hard to click on these.
Luke listed 50 is actually one before, so that's
it. Yeah, I mean, that's an option. Yeah. I mean, at 50-1, that's not terrible. Quest at 65. Chez Reavie at 80.
I don't hate that. I was looking at Reavie. Streelman at 65 is a little interesting to me as well. I think Streelman's that veteran that can surprise some people once in a while.
Yeah.
This is definitely, I think we say it every year, especially in the fall swing. This is a T20 paradise kind of thing, like Doug Gimmett plus 190 to T20, Higo plus 190 to T20. You got your Hubbard at plus 210, List at plus 220, like Dylan Wu even at 230, but like Streelman at plus 260 to top 20, I'm a fan of that. Reavie at plus 280 to top 20, love that. Those are kind of numbers that I'd almost rather do stuff like, you know, go pick 5-6, like Carson Young plus 360 to top 20. Dude's been dealing. I think that's a fun one. I'd almost pick, you know, 5 to 10 top 20 guys and go have some fun this week and see what happens personally.
But I can see it.
We'll see. But all right, Jesse, final thoughts. We don't have the Ryder Cup for 2 more years. We got the President's Cup up in, I think it's what, Toronto or something, which should be interesting. And yeah, any final thoughts on the Sanderson Farms?
No. Yeah. Nothing.
That's fair.
Good luck.
Live Miami's in a couple of weeks, their season finale. We'll see who's there with Team Smash and see how that goes. I'm looking forward. I saw a bunch of rumblings after this week, and I hope it happens with the merger. I don't think it ever will. I think he's blackballed. But Phil Mickelson captaining Bethpage's team would be freaking electric. That's all I have to say. That would be glorious. But lots of long ways down the road. But good luck this week at the Sanderson Farms. If you have questions, Jesse's on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. The podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm Matt B. Dientrich. This is your 2023 Sanderson Farms preview. Catch you all later.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.